How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Figure Four Daily. It is April 8, 2014. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. I am here on the last day here in New Orleans. We're actually getting ready to head out in about 49 minutes. We got to be out of this room. Be kicking us out. We're heading back to Seattle after a very long, but I thought very fun weekend. And I think that most of the people that are here in New Orleans probably thinking the exact same thing. WrestleMania is over. Probably, at least for me, one of the best WrestleManias. Probably the best WrestleMania that I've ever been to live. I'm going to do a Raw report here today. I know that last night on Observer Radio, we went over a lot of this stuff on Raw, but we didn't actually go through segment by segment. And I know that a lot of times people like to hear the segment by segment breakdown, so I'm going to do that here on the show. And it was live, so I'll be able to talk about some of the live reactions a little bit and some of the stuff that we got to see in the building that maybe people didn't see at home, but may also miss a segment here and there. Sometimes we see different things on the screen than you're seeing at home, but we're going to talk about all of that and any news we've got as well. I talked about a lot of news yesterday, not really a lot of updates today, particularly that we didn't talk about on the post-Raw Observer Radio with Mike and Dave. But I guess one update from yesterday, The Undertaker is out of the hospital. Apparently he was in pretty rough shape, hurting, but he was released. He stayed overnight, and I guess we'll see what the story is for his future. He was originally scheduled to be at Raw, but he didn't end up being there. And of course, originally scheduled meant before everybody knew that he was going to lose on Sunday night, since it was a pretty well-kept secret. I know there's been an argument on the board about how well-kept a secret it was, but I did hear from people who knew about it at about 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and it certainly was not a lot of people. It was very few, actually, but when you do something like this, as somebody noted on the board, I mean, you do have to have a guy who puts the graphic up on the big screen. Somebody had to design, the graphic that went up afterwards. You know, you've got various people that are in on the deal. It's impossible not to have those people. And sometimes people talk. And I mean, the idea that nobody knew except the absolute tippy top people. I mean, it's not true, because the odds did swing greatly after the show started. So I did talk to a lot of people that had no idea. And I'm sure that the vast majority of the people in the company did not have any idea. But clearly some people did. I knew a couple. And then, as noted, the odds swung greatly. So word did get out after the show went on the air. But it was one of the best kept secrets in wrestling in years, actually, the idea of Undertaker losing to Brock Lesnar. I had a lot of scenarios yesterday, a lot of people did, about where they go with this. The idea that maybe you could do the Undertaker and Sting maybe next year, do some sort of match. I don't think that's going to happen. We shall see. I don't know if they have any plans for Sting whatsoever. I thought he was going to be here tonight, and now it's looking like you may not see Sting on TV for a while. As far as Brian and Brock, it's possible they could still do that sometime soon. After Paul Heyman's promo last night, building up Brock is like the most unstoppable monster of all time. As I mentioned yesterday, the idea that you're going to have Brock Lesnar break the streak and then within a 1 month period lose. Now I just have decided that would be the stupidest idea of all time. Brock needs to, I actually think that Brock should take a hiatus. Brock should be gone for a while. Brock should make a big return, maybe around SummerSlam. Set him up with an opponent. Brock destroys that person. And if you're going to do a match with Daniel Bryan for the title, you've got to hold it off a little, particularly if Bryan is going to win. If Brock is going to beat Bryan for the title, that's another story entirely. I just don't want to see Brock lose. Brock should remain undefeated for some time, and whoever beats Brock, you got to pick the right guy. Because he's going to be the guy who beat the guy who broke the streak. And so this is not just let's build up a match for Extreme Rules. We'll have Brian beat Brock at Extreme Rules. It'd be great for Brian, but I think it would be a big time waste of Brock, a big time waste of them breaking the streak. So I don't, I don't think you should do that. And as far as the Shield versus Evolution, it does look like that is taking place. I talked about that yesterday. Big difference is they've added Kane and Triple H. So it is now 4-4. Now, there is an Extreme Rules show coming up. And obviously, nearly everybody who watched the end of Raw, their first thought was, my God, we could do the War Games match at Extreme Rules. Now, WWE did do a War Games DVD. And my understanding was that it sold fairly well. Not like the best DVD of all time or anything like that, but it sold well. And the Goldberg DVD sold well. There are a lot of WCW DVDs that have done fairly well. And maybe that has opened up Vince's eyes to the idea that, okay, I didn't create this concept, but people want to see the concept. We got some guys. Let's do the War Games and just see what happens. It's not the end of the world. There's also, I talked to people who noted that this year's WrestleMania, I mean, by far more so than any other, this was a Triple H Stephanie show as opposed to a Vince McMahon show. Stephanie and Triple H were front and center. They were the face of the company during this period as opposed to Vince. Many people pointed this out to me. And I know that I insisted that Vince McMahon was coming back soon, and it was for a lot of different reasons. But now I am thinking that, in fact, I may have been wrong, and Vince McMahon may not be coming back anytime soon. And I'm not saying that Vince McMahon is not in charge. I'm not saying that Vince McMahon is not still the final decision maker. But it does appear to me and to many people that Hunter and Steph are calling more shots now than they ever have been. And Hunter, I can tell you, would love to do a War Games match, particularly if he's in it. So, I don't know. It's possible that we'll see it. It looked like they were setting it up. I don't think it's impossible. I hope they do it. Just give it a shot. And we shall see. But that was the main event finish for Raw. And that leads us to the Raw Report. I actually got in about 5 minutes late. We ran into a lot of traffic coming back from seeing Kenneth Nita, a.k.a. Brock. And he seems to be out of the woods and doing all right. He clearly seemed to be pretty sad that he wasn't here at WrestleMania weekend. He had tickets for all sorts of events. He had tickets for Raw. He had tickets for WrestleMania. I mean, he was planning to go to all sorts of things when all of this went down. And I don't remember all the details of where he's going next, but it appears that his next step is to move into another room. He's been moved from ICU to a normal room, which is a big improvement. Still had some tubes in him and that sort of thing, but he's been moved to a normal room, and now he's going to be moving to another room where he's going to be doing even more rehab. He's got some speech therapy to do, and he's got some I don't know exactly what the details are, but I do know that he stood up yesterday for 10 full minutes, which was a really big deal. So he's probably going to have to work more on standing and moving around. But overall, seems like everything is improving. One of the nurses came in while he was there, and they checked all his vitals and his blood pressure. And the nurse, when he was done, just said, "What did he say?" He said something like, The picture of male health or something like that. And of course, Kenneth kind of chuckled and was like, "I'm not the picture of male health." And the nurse was kind of like, "No, you're great. I mean, you've got some things to overcome, but you know, you're doing fine." So it's he's still got a long ways to go. He is very happy to see everybody. They're him and his girlfriend are really hoping and they're planning to make it to the convention in July over UFC 175 weekend. So we're hopefully all going to get them there. So that is the plan. If you want to send him any good messages, you can do that. I'm sure on the Facebook page, you can do that on the board. There's a sticky thread. Get well, Tim. But it was great to see him and glad that he is doing better. So so we saw him. We headed back to Raw. It was actually, we got there in great time. I've got to thank Peppermint Fatty for driving us all over the land. And in fact, taking us to I can't remember what it was called, but he took us to a restaurant for lunch before we went out to see Kenneth. And It was me and Fatty and Whitney and Ed. And, you know, Ed has been very, very helpful. And Fatty was driving us all over the land. And so I was like, okay, I'll buy everyone lunch for helping out. So we all order our lunch, and it came to like $70 for poor boys. And I was like, this is not a poor boy style meal. This is a rich man style meal. $70, my God. So we sit down, and suffice to say, they brought out our food, and we got a value for $70. I ordered a large poor boy, and it would have fed 5 men. Everyone else got, I think, mediums. They would have fed 3 men. We got French fries covered in, what was it covered in? Roast beef and gravy. French fries covered in roast beef and gravy. Anyway, suffice to say, we got more than our money's worth for this gigantic bill. The meal was amazing. Don't eat here for any length of time. If you come to New Orleans, you will gain 50 pounds or you'll die. But for a short period of time, it was really good. So anyway, and by the way, I this has nothing to do with anything, but I was thinking of food. Last 3 nights in a row, since I've had to do shows in the evening, we've ordered out. And I should plug this place, but I don't have the menu in front of me. Maybe Woody will bring it over here to me. But there's a takeout place, and apparently they're always packed, because every time I call, they put me on hold. It's called Half Moon Grill, 1125 St. Mary Street in New Orleans. And I ate at the Half Moon Grill the last 3 nights in a row. And by night 3, I said, I'll have an order for takeout. And the girl goes, Brian? And I said, yep. She goes, Hampton Inn? And I went, yep. She goes, okay, what do you want? So they knew me by day 3. So I really do like that place. And they had some pretty good food. And I managed to get chocolate cake 3 nights in a row. But anyway, enough about food. Talk about Raw here. Open up with a Brian segment. Came out with his titles. He was super over. It is the post-WrestleMania crowd, and so all of the hardest of the hardcore from around the world are here at this event. And if you've ever seen a post-Mania Raw, and I can't imagine anybody listening to this right now didn't see WrestleMania or the post-Mania Raw, but if you didn't, I mean, you gotta, when this show comes up on Hulu, which should be later on today, you gotta watch this show just to see all these absolutely crazy people having the time of their lives. But Hunter and Stephanie came out, said this title reign cannot last. Hunter said it was going to end tonight because Brian was going to defend the title in the main event against himself. And away they went. That was your opening segment. All they did was set up a match. As noted, I missed about the first five minutes. So if Brian, I suspect that whatever Brian said in the first 5 minutes was very similar to what he said in the post show, and I'll talk about that later. But Stephanie was walking a little bit gingerly. I did ask around to see if she'd suffered an ankle injury, because as noted several times, actually, Brian did a spot at WrestleMania where he did a tope, and he ran into Hunter and Scott Armstrong, and Scott Armstrong, in taking the bump, fell on Stephanie's ankle. And all I heard was that she was walking around fine backstage, so if she tweaked her ankle, it wasn't bad. So that was your opening segment. Then we had a deal backstage with Hunter, Stephanie, and Batista. Dave was extremely angry that Hunter was giving himself a championship match and not Dave, even though Dave actually did tap out, as Hunter noted. You lost last night. You tapped out to Brian, not me. So Orton came up, and he was upset as well. He actually had the best argument of anybody. He had never been beaten to lose the title. So essentially, Hunter said that, listen, I am in charge. And listen, if you guys are both going to get a shot, but you're going to get it after tonight. I am going to go out there and I'm going to solve this problem. Stephanie, as a make good, gave them a tag title shot. And Orton said, we don't care about the tag titles. We just want the world title. And Hunter said, okay, you'll get your shot, but shut up. Do the thing tonight. I'm going to take care of this problem. And he noted that we are better together than we are apart. So he was strongly hinting at the Evolution reunion. And I actually had a scenario in my head for the night that I thought would have tied all of this together, which was that Hunter comes out and he helps Randy Orton and Batista win the tag team titles. And then later in the show, Orton and Batista as Evolution come out, and they're going to help Triple H win the title against Daniel Bryan. You send out the Shield makes the save, Bryan hits the knee, so Bryan pins Hunter, you've got the titles on Orton and Batista, you've set up the six-man with the Shield, I thought it all tied together great, and they proceeded to do absolutely none of that. So, although I should note that even though, well, we'll get to that, with whatever the hell happened with Batista and the Usos. We had Cena, Orton, and Big E Langston against the Wyatts. Cena was hated tonight, much more so than he was last night at WrestleMania. I don't know why it was. Maybe there were more casual fans last night. Maybe there were more children. I don't know, but a lot of let's go Wyatt chants. They hated all of the baby faces until Big E did a spot where he lifted up Big Rowan and gave him three sequential backbreakers over his knee. And everybody was so impressed with his great strength, they actually cheered Big E Langston, which was pretty impressive, actually, given how much they hated the baby faces here. Crowd saying he's got the whole world in his hands. They are now singing John Cena Sucks in his ring music, which was I've never heard before. Maybe they've done that before, but I've never heard it before. And that was awesome. They sang it when he came out, and then they randomly sang it during the match, so that was great. Hit the finish on Big E Langston, this poor guy. I don't know what he's done to deserve this, but they beat him, and there you go. So the Wyatts were victorious. By the way, I've heard that they still want to turn Sheamus heel. If you recall, the original idea for Mania, before everything happened with Daniel Bryan, was it was going to be Orton and Batista in a singles match in the main event, and Daniel Bryan was going to be facing Sheamus on the show. Which I remember at the time, I just thought, what a waste of Daniel Bryan. He's going to have a singles match with Sheamus? Well, they still want to do Bryan and Sheamus. I don't know if they're going to do it anytime soon. I don't know if they're going to actually do a championship match, but probably at some point, Sheamus is turning, and eventually he will feud with Daniel Bryan, so there you go. Bo Dallas is coming. I am not looking forward to that. I have nothing against the guy, but just from watching him on NXT, Bo Dallas is like a, as Dave would say, he's a good hand. His in a developmental group, he's a decent champion, and he was the champion until he lost at the NXT Arrival show. But I just don't see him as a top guy with all of the great guys they've got in WWE. He's an all right worker. He's an all right talker. He's got a good look, but is a top guy. I don't see it. I see it more as a guy who gets stuck in like a mid card, even like a Damian Sandow role before Sandow was just a complete jobber. So I guess we'll see, but I don't know. I just don't think the world is ready for Bo Dallas on the big stage, but who knows? We had Fandango and Summer Rae against Santino and Emma. Woody, of course, very happy to see Santino, and she saw him for a full minute. Crowd briefly did the Fandango dance, but it's nothing like it was last year. WWE has destroyed him, even to these fans. So they won. 1 minute match. Santino and Emma. Emma submitted Summer, and then they played Emma's music. A lot of the fans did the dance, and that was it. So there you go. We had Brock and Paul come out for a speech. I was not a fan of Undertaker losing. I thought that Undertaker, the streak should never be broken. I argued it for a long time. People argued otherwise. They did it, so who cares now? It's over. I just have always felt that there's not a lot of stuff in wrestling anymore that's real. And one thing that is real, or was real, was the Undertaker streak. Undertaker's streak was absolutely the most real thing in wrestling until Sunday. It was legitimate. It lasted decades. And it was one thing that you could always get the fans into the match with the right guy because something real was on the line, the streak. And I just thought that it should never end. And everybody should have something that they're remembered for. He's still going to be remembered for the streak, but you know, you'll never do another streak. You'll never get the streak back. It's over now. So I'm not crying. I didn't leave the building upset. I just didn't think that they should do it. However, even though they didn't, And they did it in a way that I never would have done it. I certainly would not have had Brock Lesnar in the streak. The match itself, watching the match back, I watched it back last night. I kind of feel really bad for The Undertaker because people are always going to talk about how The Undertaker looks so old and he just couldn't go anymore. And the match was terrible. And it's too bad that the streak was broken in such a bad match. They're going to talk about this forever. But my understanding, and certainly even more so from watching the match, I believe this, Undertaker got that concussion, and it was a serious overnight hospital stay concussion. He got that very early in the match. And when you watch the match, this poor dude is out of it. And I know that, like, I talked to people yesterday, he remembered virtually nothing. Brock had to help him through the match. They did everything they were supposed to do, but maybe, we'll never know, maybe had he not suffered the concussion, this would have been a significantly more memorable match. The Undertaker is not as bad off as he appeared in the match on Sunday night because he was concussed and he had no idea what was going on. And it really sucks because maybe it would have been like a really exciting match had he not had this happen. But because of the concussion, it was a bad match and he got the streak broken the whole nine yards. So anyway, I do have to say this. Once a decision was made to end the streak and to have Brock Lesnar be the guy to do it, the next night on Raw, whoever broke the streak, whoever it would have been, they would have had to come out and brag about it. And obviously they would be a heel. No matter who it was, the next night they would have to come out and brag about it. I can conceive of a million ways that they could have beaten The Undertaker in a different way and ended the streak, and it would have been better than what happened on Sunday night. Lance had an idea. All of you can probably think of some sort of idea. With that said, I cannot conceive of a better post-break-the-streak promo than what Paul Heyman did on Raw on Monday night. Whenever people talk about breaking the streak, they talk about Bruno and Koloff and how when Koloff came off the top rope with that flying knee and pinned Bruno, the arena just went dead silent. And it was like a legendary moment that will never be forgotten in the history of wrestling. Now, no one's ever going to forget the Undertaker streak being broken because it's legendary, but it certainly was very different from what happened with Koloff. It was a different kind of shock. It was a lot of, why did they do this? Why did they do it like this? It was a lot of that. But Paul Heyman's promo was legendary. And Paul Heyman's promo will go down in history as an all-time legendary great promo. It does not matter how many times and who they had in the past beat Brock Lesnar. It doesn't matter anymore. Paul Heyman made Brock Lesnar into the most unbeatable fighting machine that the company has ever seen in one fell swoop. You could not have cut a better post streak breaking promo. It is impossible. There's nothing that Paul Heyman could have said that he didn't. There is nothing that he missed. There is nothing that he said that he shouldn't have said. It was a rare, absolutely perfect promo. And it was so perfect that when Paul Heyman came out, he was hated. There were so many people in this building that hated the idea that the streak was broken. I mean, there were chants of this was bullshit, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there were chants at WrestleMania. There were chants at the show. I mean, people just were outraged that the streak was broken by Brock Lesnar, of all people, especially this hardcore audience. And Heyman came out and he was booed like crazy. And then he launched into this promo. And by the time this promo was over, Paul Heyman was, I don't want to say he was the biggest babyface on this show because he wasn't. That was like Wade Barrett. And I don't even want to say necessarily he was a babyface. But the fans realized that they had seen a classic all-time great promo. And so when Paul came out at the top of the next hour, he was a gigantic babyface. I won't recap this promo. I'm not going to. A, because I can't. I would not be able to do it justice. And B, because if you didn't see it, I want you to go to Hulu later today, and I want you to watch Paul Heyman's promo after the streak was broken by Brock Lesnar. It was one of the greatest promos I've ever seen. It is impossible that Paul Heyman does not win Best on Promos in the Observer this year. If he does not win, then a Steve Austin Rock level performer is coming up, and I can't conceive of that right now. It was so awesome, and it could not have been done better. And when it was over, I was sitting there thinking, man, am I the guy that thought that they should do Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan at Extreme Rules to get Bryan over? What a stupid idea. Brock Lesnar should never lose again until finally his last match when they need to get a guy over. It was the best. So go and watch this promo. You'll never see anything like it again. Literally, you won't, because there will never be a streak again. There will never be something that a man can brag about, like Paul Heyman bragged about Brock Lesnar breaking the streak. You'll never see anything like this again. It's impossible, because there's no patience to do something over two decades. This is something that you'll never see again. It was phenomenally done, and you need to go watch it right now. In fact, you can shut off this show right now and go watch it, because I guarantee it's better than anything you'll hear on this program here. Just awesome. And then we had Batista and Orton against the Usos. What a buffer this was. From the greatest promo in years to whatever the hell this was, maybe it was better on television. You had Batista and Orton come out for a match with the Usos for the title. Fans just did not care. They chanted for Jericho. They chanted for Punk. They chanted for Justin Roberts. They chanted for JBL. And then the bell just rang. And I don't know what the hell happened. Batista went over and they powerbombed one of the Usos on the steps. They got in the ring. Batista and Orton whispered something to each other. Then they posed. And then Batista went over and dropped the titles on both guys. And then they left. I was completely baffled. I have no idea what this was all about. It sucked. Nobody in the building had any idea what was going on or why it sucked so bad. I can tell you that it's likely, if they don't do this War Game style match, at some point it appears they're going to be doing Batista and Orton against the Usos in some sort of stipulation match. I would guess not at Extreme Rules, because it appears they've got some sort of 8-man going on. But I suppose they could do an 8-man on Raw and then split everybody off and do something else at Extreme Rules. But I guess this was to set up some sort of Extreme Rules match with Batista and Orton against the Usos. So I guess we shall see. Had RVD and Sandow in a showcase match for RVD. He came back. RVD looked, I thought he looked better than when he left. Rested, wasn't all beat up. He did all of his spots. He won. Fans liked it. As I noted yesterday, it wasn't like a big, gigantic explosion of a return, but they cheered big and, you know, they liked RVD, and that was that. Then we had Wade Barrett versus Rey Mysterio. Wade, maybe someone out there listening who was there last night can correct me, but I think that Wade Barrett got the biggest babyface reaction of anybody on the show. That includes Paul Heyman when he came out the second time. That includes Cesaro. That includes Daniel Bryan. That includes everybody. Wade Barrett was over like a god here in front of all these Europeans. Rey played heel by cutting him off in the middle of his speech. Rey was absolutely hated. Fans were singing the entire time, probably something soccer related, I do not know. But Barrett finally cut him off, which got a gigantic pop, hit a forearm, and got the pin. The place went absolutely nuts. And yes, Wade Barrett is still the linear WWE World Heavyweight Champion. I know that some people are still on that. I think what happened was Dave and I talked about Heath Slater winning on a free show, and so like tons more people heard it. But Wade Barrett did not lose to Heath Slater. It was there was a house show report that apparently got it wrong. Wade Barrett at this point is still the linear champion. We had Zack Ryder against Alexander Rusev. Rusev just came out and destroyed him. They've killed Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder is the kind of guy that normally at a post-WrestleMania show, everybody would be super into. But even this crowd, the most hardcore of all hardcore fans, even they saw him as a jobber. They gave him a polite reaction, nothing special. He was killed by Rusev, who's got a total 70s, 80s foreign heel gimmick. His music, his monster music, is actually awesome. Lana's great. It's a fun little act. I think it needs some time before you put him into main events. We'll see what happens when he's in main events. He's I don't want to say he's very short, but he's extremely thick. I'll give him that. but he doesn't have the height that they usually like in a main eventer. I don't know how he's going to be. I mean, I've seen him do long matches in NXT. It doesn't blow the roof off anything. He's a good guy, but I don't know about big time main eventer, and that's kind of how they're pushing him. But I do love the music. The production of his whole act is great. We'll see how it goes with him. Warrior came out. He got a big reaction, but he didn't get like a massive superstar reaction. He did get his jacket out from underneath the ring and put it over his suit jacket, and that got a big reaction. He did shake them ropes, which was great. Got a good reaction. He found his mask. He did a promo. It was very quick. He appeared to be blown up just shaking them ropes. He appeared to be tired. He appeared to be moving not so well. Dude's old, and he's hurt, and he's beat up, but he's still got a lot of charisma, but I don't think they should be having him out there on TV all the time. I think he's better off as an ambassador. And just from watching this and how he moved and how he appeared to get tired, no matches for Warrior. He's made that very clear, but it was made very clear to me watching this as well. All of you at home saw the video, the thank you video that WWE aired to the fans. And when it was over in the building, the fans proceeded to chant, "You are welcome." They had an us, us, us chant. And they also chanted, "We are awesome." So they knew that the show was all about them, as it is every post-Mania Raw from now until the end of time. AJ came out. She's apparently friends with Tamina again. They've broken up and gotten back together like 9 times. She did a promo. Went a long time. She's sporting her engagement ring, her CM Punk engagement ring. Talked about how she's still the Divas champion. And, of course, they had the debut of Paige. There were a lot of people in the building that watched NXT. As noted, a very hardcore audience. I won't say like everybody knew everybody, but a lot of people obviously knew who Paige was. And for the European fans, I mean, I'm sure they knew Paige not because of NXT, but because she's been wrestling since she was like 13. So they all knew Paige and they were very excited. AJ challenged her. You know, Paige said, "I'm not ready." And then, you know, AJ was like, "Well, you're going to be ready because we're doing this, and I'm also going to put my championship on the line." And man, as soon as she put that title on the line, everybody in the building knew there was going to be a title change. They were so happy. They were chanting, "This is awesome." Chanting, "Let's go, Paige." It was weird in the building. It was, I apparently explained on commentary at home, but AJ put her in the Black Widow, and for all the world, for us watching in the building with no commentary, it looked like Paige just tapped, and she tapped vigorously a number of times. Apparently, it was explained on television that she was just flailing, but we were all confused. We thought the match was over, but they weren't stopping it, and then she did kind of that botched Paige turn and got the win. It was good live. I don't know if it would have worked in front of any other audience. I mean, this audience loved Paige. They knew who she was. They were her countrymen, is the best way to describe it, maybe. And so they loved every bit of it, and they were very happy. But before another audience, this might have been very weird because of the whatever the tapping was or was not, and just how they did the whole thing. But in front of this crowd, it worked out great, and everybody loved it. So there you go. The latest I've heard, by the way, as of this morning, is that she is, by the way, still the NXT Women's Champion. I don't know if this is what they're going to do, but the impression I was giving was they're probably just going to vacate the NXT Women's title and do like some sort of tournament, and maybe a Sasha Banks or somebody is going to win the belt. But that appears to be the idea as of this morning, so I guess we'll see. Hogan came out. He was so happy about the Battle Royal. It was his favorite match on the show. So he called out Cesaro. The crowd sang the Real Americans music, which was great. Hogan then left. They did the deal where Zeb took the mic and took credit. And then I don't know how they pulled this off, but Cesaro comes out and he says, "I'm not a Zeb Coulter guy, I'm a Paul Heyman guy." Now, in any other building, especially after the streak got broken the night before, I mean, if you wrote this down on paper, especially after the Paul Heyman promo that was scripted, if you wrote this down on paper, you would presume that Cesaro in saying this would be like a giant heel, and everybody would hate Paul Heyman, come off like another, I don't know if a heel turn because he was already a heel being with Zeb, maybe not. I guess it would be a heel turn because he was a babyface last night. But on paper, this just would seem baffling. Like, why after you were such a giant babyface at Mania, are they keeping you heel and putting you with Paul Heyman? Well, Paul Heyman caught cut such a great promo that he announces he's a Paul Heyman guy, and they went crazy. They were so happy. And Paul Heyman came out, and he was just ridiculously over. They do the deal where Cesaro is now the King of Swing. So, of course, everyone's chanting King of Swing. They all want to see the swing. And at the end of the day, they didn't. So that was interesting. Swagger came in. He broke the trophy. So for those of you wondering, I think we had an argument. I presume that the trophy would be broken. And somebody argued that it was they went to so much trouble that it would not be broken. But in fact, it was broken immediately by Swagger, which is very sad, by the way. You desecrate the trophy of Andre the Giant. So Maddox came out and signed a match between the two. There were thank you Maddox chants. I don't know if this was on TV or not. It may have been during a break. But there were broken trophy pieces in the ring. And so they sent a guy in to sweep it up. And so we got sweep, sweep, sweep chants. We got thank you sweeper. He got a huge reaction. And then I guess they probably came back and they had the match. Swagger walked out for the finish. Match was not much at all. This match was a struggle in the ring, but the fans loved Cesaro, so it worked, and he walked out. So, I don't know. I guess Cesaro is still a heel, or he's back to being a heel. He's now just with Paul Heyman. I really don't know what's going on. We'll find out, but I'd much rather he was with... I love Zeb Coulter, but being with Zeb Coulter is not a main event duo or trio. Being with Paul Heyman, you are a main eventer. So, I'm very happy that he's been switched to Paul Heyman. And I can tell you that in coming up with different ideas for WrestleMania next year, they have a few ideas for Brock. As Dave mentioned, when the Brock Undertaker thing was originally conceived years ago, there were thoughts of doing a WrestleMania rematch after Brock beat Undertaker. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think Undertaker is done. I know that they have discussed Brock versus Rock, which actually was supposed to be done this year before Rock got hurt and had all of his commitments. And apparently they've also discussed Brock Lesnar versus Cesaro doing a Paul Heyman guy split. So that would certainly be a gigantic match for Cesaro. So a year is a long time. Things change, and we'll see how it goes. Had the Stephanie Kane Shield segment where she wanted them to help Triple H win. They mocked the Outlaws, and then... Kane got mad. He revealed to the Shield that Hunter had stacked the odds against him many times. She started shrieking, and of course that set up the main event. Supposed to be Brian versus Hunter. Of course, the match never happened. Orton and Dave came down immediately and beat up Brian. This actually got shockingly, maybe it wasn't shocking at this point in the show, but very little reaction for this. They beat him up. Orton gave him an RKO. Batista gave him a Batista bomb. Kane came out and choke slammed him. Funniest thing is they've got Orton, Dave, and Kane in there, and the three of them have all beat up Daniel Bryan. And so obviously you're expecting the Shield to come out. Not these fans. They decided they were going to start a 3MB chant. They wanted 3MB to come down and save Daniel Bryan. That did not happen. Hunter came down, told the ref to ring the bell, and then of course the Shield came down. A lot of Hounds of Justice chants. This is awesome chance. They teased all of the guys in the ring facing off. Hunter was trying to be the peacemaker. This went on a long time. Was good live, was not great. Until they finally had their brawl. Everybody hit their dives. Brian hit his knee on Triple H. All of the heels bailed. And of course, we had no match. So it was a good little segment to set up something in the future. As noted, I don't know what it's going to be. I presume at Extreme Rules they do some sort of eight-man. Hopefully they do War Games. Hopefully we finally get it after all these years. I know it would excite a lot of people. It'd be a great it'd be great to try and sell the network to those people that... And again, I don't think there are a lot of these people. But I do think there are people that decided to wait until WrestleMania was over to buy the network. Probably in the tens of thousands. Certainly not in the hundreds of thousands. But I think if there are people that decided they were going to wait to see how Mania did and then buy the network after... If you do like a big Extreme Rules card and those people see that, hey, the network did not fall down during WrestleMania, it worked great for everybody. Maybe you will get an extra, 40,000 subscribers or something like that. Again, I don't think the number is great. I'm very skeptical of them hitting a million by the end of the year, but I think you can get some stragglers if you do a big Extreme Rules match and you show those people that the network held up. So after Raw, they did the post show, which was just Renee interviewing The Shield. They cut a promo and everybody cheered. And then she interviewed Daniel Bryan, and he basically did his thank you speech. And he noted that, people asked me how I did it, and I didn't do it. He said that it was you fans right now that got me here. And he got a little bit emotional, and it's true. As everybody is well aware, this was not supposed to be Daniel Bryan in the ring as champion after WrestleMania. When Batista came in and he won the Royal Rumble, Batista was supposed to leave WrestleMania as the champion. It was supposed to be Batista versus Randy Orton for the title, and Daniel Bryan was going to be having a match with Sheamus, I'm sure to avenge his 18-second loss. But at the end of the day, Daniel Bryan ended up after the Royal Rumble. I mean, you can go back and listen. I'll say this right now. I am not saying that I did this, but you can go back and listen to the post-Royal Rumble audio, and I made it very clear, you know, you fans can make a difference. If you want Daniel Bryan in the main event, you need to go there and hijack all these shows. You need to make your voice heard, and that is what people did, not because of me. I mean, they figured it out pretty quickly, but that's what happened. They went out there, and they made their voices heard, and they changed the course of WrestleMania history by being so behind Daniel. And he made that very clear. And he thanked the fans. He talked about how here he was. He was the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. He'd achieved his dream. He had main evented WrestleMania. And this week he was marrying the girl of his dreams. And he was so happy. And the fans were so happy. And they all chanted, yes, yes, yes. And it really was a great moment. I really wish this would have been on television. I don't know why it was not. Maybe because, I don't know, he was kind of breaking kayfabe, saying the fans changed the main event finish at WrestleMania. But, and I'm sure if you watch, you can watch it on the app. It's on the post-Raw show. But it was really, really great. Whole show was really, really great. And I had a great time. I had a wonderful time this weekend. I thought it was, as noted, the best WrestleMania I've been to live. I thought Raw was great. Had a lot of fun at all of the various shows. And as always, I want to thank everybody that I met here in New Orleans. I can't even count the number of people that I met. I literally met hundreds. There's no joke. I met hundreds of listeners here this weekend. The other night, I went out to grab a water at the end of the hall, and I ran into five people between my room and the end of the hall, and we just sat there and we talked wrestling. I mean, there are people all over the hotel. I saw so many people at all of the events. I mean, just standing in line, people coming up, hey, Brian, it was so awesome. As usual, I do want to apologize if you ran into me and we were talking and somebody else came up and it had to be cut short. I want to apologize. I love to spend as much time as possible with everybody because, you know, I don't want to do a wacky Daniel Bryan speech, but this show and this website is here because of everybody listening right now. So I do like to thank everybody and talk to everybody. And sometimes when a million things are going on or there's a brunch or whatever, I only get to talk to people for a few minutes. So if something happened and I didn't get to talk to you for a long time or everybody got split up or everything, or I didn't get to say goodbye, I do apologize to that. But I do want to thank everybody that came up and said hi. Thank everybody for all of the support of the site. Obviously, Rodney, who lives here in New Orleans, arranged a lot of things and greatly appreciate all of the help that Rodney provided. Want to thank Ed for doing the show yesterday, and as he noted, I don't remember what show it was, but Dave got him credentials for a UFC, and he didn't know what to put down on his credential form, this being Ed. He didn't want to put, like, reporter, because he felt he would be lying. So I believe he put down Wrestling Observer / Figure 4 Online Event Coordinator. That was his role that he put down. And it was like, I'll make you business cards saying that because you are the executive event coordinator of Wrestling Observer / Figure 4 Online. So I very much want to thank him. I want to thank Sean Sloan, who drove us all over the place. I think I made a comment that was attributed to him, but I didn't mention his name the other day. So I greatly apologize to that. So I want to thank Sean Sloan for being a driver and having very sticky hands at the end of a long evening. Want to mention that as well. And Dr. Lucha, who taxied us around, and Peppermint Fatty, who taxied us around. And I'm sure I'm missing like a million people, but you all know who you are. I very much appreciate it. And if I didn't have a chance to thank you or say goodbye, hey, I know I'll see you at the convention or maybe next year's WrestleMania as well. Hi, Eli, who got us a fabulous room here at the Hampton. And God, who else am I forgetting? I'm sure a million people. I very much apologize if I forgot anybody. I don't have a list right here. But thanks for everybody who got tickets, got us into places. It's been a great time. So I really appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll have more thank yous in the next couple of days, because at some point I will find Vinny. I don't know if this got cut out last night, but I can tell everybody who was asking that Vinny is in fact alive. Vinny tried to fly to Houston, at which point he would drive here to New Orleans, but he went standby. They were bumped from the flight. There were no other flights to Houston, so they ended up on a plane to Austin, where Vinny, in a blind rage of fury, drove 8 hours and arrived in New Orleans at 4 o'clock a.m. He then proceeded to go eat and drink into a stupor every single night all over New Orleans. I don't think he stopped eating since he got here. He went to exactly one wrestling show, drowned his sorrows in whiskey and chicken wings, and then managed to get on a flight and get back home, where he is now safe and sound. So he is fine. He'll be back on the show maybe tonight, but most likely on Thursday, and he had a great time. So also thanks to Semper Vivi for doing all the shows, and everybody here for listening and supporting the website. So I am going to wrap it up. I'm going to be kicked out in exactly 2 minutes, so I got to get this thing going. So thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back with more later on. Had a great time. Come out to WrestleMania. We'll talk to you again after a while.